Good morning. This is Darrell Gunter, your host for Leadership on WSOU 89.5 FM and streaming on the net at WSOU.net. Well, I'm so pleased to have as our in-studio guest, Dr. Javier Lozano, Director of International Affairs at the University of the Incarnate Word in San Antonio, Texas. Dr. Lozano, thank you for coming on the program.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You know, when we first met, at like, I think, 4 in the morning at the Philadelphia International Airport. We were in the TSA line, and we struck up a conversation. And I immediately said, I have to have this gentleman on my program because you have spent your career talking about leadership, talking about change management, talking about building collaborative teams. So I'm so pleased to have you on the program. But before we jump into the program at the University of the Incarnate Word in San Antonio, Texas, can you share with our audience some of the highlights of your education, career, and experience?
Yes, I'll be glad to do so. I first started at St. Mary's University in 1998 and immediately really was attracted to business and working with people and looking at different ways that we can improve not only ourselves but processes. So that led me into pursuing my education, and I received a Master's of a Business Administration concentration in international business, and then followed that up with my doctorate in international education and entrepreneurship. Those two experiences led me to not only further my education, but also have a better knowledge and understanding of the different concepts that revolve around our each and everyday life, not only in business, not only in management, but also personal lives as well.
And so at your program there at the University of the Incarnate Word in San Antonio, before we talk about the program, the significance of the Incarnate Word, this particular university, tell us a little bit about the specialness of this university.
Yes, University of the Incarnate Word is very special in that it was founded by, speaking of international, it was founded by the Sisters of Charity, and in fact Bishop Dubuis back in the day called upon the sisters to come over from France, which they did. They were having an issue with the folks here in Texas. There was a huge cholera epidemic, and they traveled all the way from Paris to serve the local community here in San Antonio. And unfortunately, a lot of people did not make it and passed away. So the sisters found a need to educate the young kids left behind as their parents died. And it's amazing the story, because not only did they develop the grade school system, but eventually a college, which eventually became a university. And today the university has various professional health programs, and the very most recent one is the School of Osteopathic Medicine, in addition to nursing, physical therapy, optometry, and so on and so forth. The university is founded on providing access to all those who want to improve their lives through higher education. And because of that, we're not only changing the demographics of professionals here in Texas, but all throughout the nation, as we are one of the universities with a high Hispanic and also first-generation population. So it's a very special university, and that continues to implement the mission of serving not only our domestic community, but also international as well.
Well, I tell you, that is very, very special. And when I look up the word incarnate. It talks about especially of a deity or spirit embodied in flesh in human form, and the work that you and your colleagues are doing there at the University of the Incarnate is extremely very special. I want to applaud your efforts there. Let's talk about the key components of your program there. When you talk about servant leadership and you talk about change management, tell us about the program and the key components of it.
Yes. The program itself that I teach in is the Professional Studies Program. And this too, like the university, is a very special program in that it is geared towards non-traditional students, meaning that these students, at one point in their younger lives, they transferred right into their careers, and from there started developing their careers. And at some point in their lives, decided to come to the university, come back to the university, and fulfill their graduate studies, which is really great for me because it allows me the opportunity to interact with professionals in not only in the San Antonio area, but also other areas surrounding the city. I have had students that travel in from as far as Austin and Dallas and so on and so forth to attend classes, graduate level classes. So with this in mind, the classes is literally a great environment where we have several managers and key directors in various fields that are sharing their experiences of change management.
Change management is quite a challenging topic since the beginning of time, especially in businesses. What are some of the key components of your change management course? Is it one course? Is it multiple courses?
Yes, it's several courses. I think the topic is embedded in all throughout the graduate level courses, to be very honest with you. And one of the things when you and I were talking from the very beginning, and I think this comes up in several conversations, is in my opinion, the main concept is purpose. And in my mind, when I see change management, I see an umbrella, and the top of the umbrella has two words, purpose and why. And with change management, in my opinion, we have to look at what's our purpose and why are we implementing this change. And from there, if we can imagine underneath the umbrella, there are several key concepts that lead to those two key terms, purpose and why. And with change management, in order to be successful, we have to really increase our abilities to listen to our colleagues, to be adaptive. Every day, the term and the practice of implementing emotional intelligence is just the value has increased tremendously. There's so much information, so many different moving parts, if you will, within an organization that we really, as people and as humans, we have to be aware of what those changes do to our emotional well-being and how that affects our decisions, which ultimately lead to why we are implementing these changes. With that, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you, what are some of those key best practices that management have to employ to have a successful change management program?
Yes, I think having a very clear strategy and end objective is one of those, that's for me, that's key. So having that skill set of not only developing that strategy, having an A to Z type of plan, but really articulating, that's another skill set. Being able to articulate the objective of a change management strategy, and effectively being able to influence those around you so that in purest of its forms is so everyone's on the same page.
You know, interesting you should mention having a clear strategy. One of the areas of challenge but opportunity that I find in my consulting practice at Gunter Media Group is the CEO has the strategy in his or her head and it's not in writing, and the company drifts. In your practice, what is some of the tips that you can provide to a CEO or even to someone who reports into a CEO of trying to get them to understand that if we're going to have effective change management, we need to have an effective strategic plan? What advice would you give to those who are reporting into a CEO who are struggling with getting a formal written strategic document in place?
That's a great question, because I also address that sometimes challenge within my organization. And I think it's from what you're sharing with me, this is common. And one of the tips I would suggest is have a follow-up and make that, so having follow-up, but embed that in your being, meaning that we all have a brand, and you know, when others speak of us or we are presenting ourselves, we are presenting ourselves. So we have to really embed that follow-up in our brand, in our everyday action. And by following up, you can, you know, forward your talking points to your supervisor, to your CEO, and having continuous discussions on how those talking points affect the overall objective.
Now, does change management only apply to large organizations, or is change management something that all size organizations, from a one-man shop up to a 10,000 FTE employee size company?
Oh, I think change management applies to any type of organization, and even with oneself. If someone is an entrepreneur and they're starting out, they too have to have a strategy on how to change their approach or their marketing and so on and so forth. It in my opinion, it applies to each and every spectrum of the size of business. And I think that the larger the business is, the more complex the change management strategy is. However, if we look at the basics of those of an effective change management strategy, we can always go back to the basic building blocks, if you will. Every house has a foundation. I hope I'm still correct in saying that, but nowadays with technology, you never know what the differences are. But for the most part, in my mind, every house has a foundation, and that's the way I look at change management. There are some key components within effectively leading change that we can always go back to, and more than likely, when there are deficiencies in change management and when the objectives are not completely met or not met at all, we can go back and identify where those key concepts were not fully addressed or implemented.
So that makes all the sense in the world. What you're suggesting is that the change management needs to be a plan, whether you're using a spreadsheet, whether you're using a Gantt chart. There needs to be an overview of the activity and actions, who's going to do what, and time frames, and then also for you to come back and reflect on it on a regular basis to ask the question, how are we doing?
Absolutely.
Is there a particular tool that you recommend to folks, project management tool that you recommend to help folks to keep track of all of these moving parts?
Yes, what I recommend is there's this one textbook that I really not only enjoyed reading, but this was probably one of the best classes that I ever had the pleasure of implementing and experiencing with my fellow students. And it's by James Pershing, and it's the title is Handbook of Human Performance Technology. Within this book, they list in detail, it looks pretty intimidating because it is a heavy book, but it goes so smoothly in that the author did a beautiful job of outlining step by step what these key concepts are, and as you refer to, having the technology, which broadens the definition. We often think of technology as something objective and something that is flickering lights or so on and so forth. But technology can include Excel spreadsheets or any types of print materials or even a simple outline. That's part of technology that humans can use, employees can use, managers, CEOs can use in order to stay on track.
Again, could you give us the author's name and the name of the textbook one more time?
Yes, the author's name is James A. Pershing, and that's Pershing. And the title of the book is Handbook of Human Performance Technology.
Very nice. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with Dr. Javier E. Lozano, PhD, who is with the International Education Entrepreneurship Program at the University of the Incarnate Word in San Antonio, Texas. And we're talking about leadership, we're talking about change management, and also now we're going to talk about collaborative learning. So collaborative learning, is this a new technique or has this been around? Tell us about collaborative learning.
Yes, collaborative learning, in my opinion, I think it's fairly new in comparison to other formats of teaching, where traditionally, and this is the way I was taught in grade school and going into high school in St. Mary's, where the professor stood up in front of the classroom and started delivering the lectures, which is nothing wrong with that. It was very interesting, but with today's dynamic environment, in that we are constantly being fed information, not only by our, maybe some of us have two cell phones and we may have a computer in front of us and we may be listening to the radio on another device. So collaborative learning is more important, in my opinion, in today's world and in how we communicate, because of so much information being bounced around. And in what I implement in my teaching environment is opening up the conversation, and by engaging the people in the room, the students in the room, with not only questions and examples, even some role playing here and there. I introduce also videos. TED Talks are huge, huge part of my teaching techniques. And all of this really reflects the dynamic world that we're living in today. In my opinion, nowadays, if I were to lecture, and I test this theory out myself in a couple of my classrooms, if I were to go up and present a 2.5 hour presentation with a couple 15 minute breaks in between, I can almost guarantee you there's a low percentage of that information being absorbed and really being embedded in the in the transfer of knowledge. With collaborative learning and being actively engaged with the class and actively sharing stories and relating it to the text, it really feels like a conversation. And that is something that I found to be very, very advantageous in today's learning environment. And I've had a lot of great responses and feedback from my students. They keep on saying that, you know, it didn't feel like class. It felt like getting together with other managers and discussing real live topics. And it's something that to them it may be new, but to me it's something that's really effective in today's learning environment.
If you could you give us a before and after? Because I'm very intrigued by what you have said, that your students say it's like a conversation versus a lecture. How do you prepare yourself as the prof for the class and to engage them into a conversation?
That's a really great question. I think you hit the nail right on the head, because I've been, this has been a work in progress. And from the very beginning, just like any change management practice, we have to establish trust. And that's the key thing in the first classroom. Some students come in intimidated by a graduate level class. Maybe it's their first time back in a university setting for several years, so they're intimidated. I immediately try to reduce that level of fear by not only being personable, so that's key, but also addressing that fear from the very beginning and assuring them that it is the environment that we're going to be creating is a conversational type environment. And I assure them that the class is going to not only be very interesting but fun. And by creating this environment and by introducing real life examples for this collaborative learning environment, I think that's when they really buy in. The one other key aspect of maintaining a collaborative learning environment is, as a professor or a lead change agent, we have to come to terms that there may not be a very strict protocol throughout the class, meaning we have to release our own fears of saying, well, what if the class gets out of control? And, you know, as professionals and professors that try to maintain and restrict that flow of ideas because of that fear of loss of classroom management, sometimes that restricts that really open flow of conversations. But I think if the topics are serious, the conversations are light, and the objectives of listening to experience students and listening about their experiences with a topic, it really is a really great thing to experience. So I would go back on those concepts just to recap. I would say from the very beginning, creating that environment, making sure that everyone feels safe about talking and expressing their ideas, and letting them know that, you know, the authors have written these materials a couple of years ago at best, so things change, and they are the ones who are living the next best thing and the next best practice. So we really need to come together in order to share our experiences.
Mm-hmm. And when you're in your classroom, do you ever put them in role play situations where they're broken into teams and they're trying to implement change management and have them go through a role play. Have you experimented with role playing these concepts and themes in your classroom?
I have, and what I found very successful. Article or case studies, and with when very that I really like the idea, and I like creating the concept of developing our internal boardroom. So I even rearranged my desk to reflect that setting of a boardroom. I will have stands for a topic and research there. I think somebody represents have to articulate why a certain way and over. And afterwards, I switch with them. They really enjoy starting to see that the other side of the coin. So it's a really great experience, and it's amazing the buy-in, because the managers know that this type of experience helped them in their life. And oftentimes, I hear that from certain students that this almost exactly what occurred last week in my meeting with my manager, and I've learned so much just by implementing. So that's really positive feedback. That's something that I like to implement because of that feedback and because of what it does actively engage and discussing somebody.
That is excellent. Dr. Lozano, believe it or not, we are at the end of our program, and this has been so good. We got to have you back on the program to discuss these topics even further. But before we go, if you could take the next 30, 45 seconds to share with our audience your thoughts about what makes a great leader.
Thank you so much, and thank you so much for having me. The opportunity to share my thoughts. I'm never growing topic, but my final thoughts on being a great leader and leading positive change, small to large organizations. I want to really having the confidence to fail and having the hope to cannot be afraid to fail. We cannot be afraid to try something. Our world is really hyperdrive right now. There are so many changes occurring as we speak, and that's a good thing. It is what it is, as we say, right? But as leaders, we have to have that confidence, and we cannot be afraid of failure, and we should be hoping to succeed each and every step. And there are plenty of tools and plenty of mentors that we can reach out to to help us out.
Well, that is excellent advice, sir. Very excellent advice. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here with Dr. Javier Lozano, PhD, Director of International Affairs at the University of the Incarnate Word in San Antonio, Texas. Dr. Lozano, I want to thank you for your time today and those words of wisdom.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity.
You're very welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, that wraps it up for this weekend on Leadership with Darrell Gunter on WSOU 89.5 FM and Seton Hall University. And remember, leadership begins with you. Have a great weekend.